Welcome to the Bible-Based Believer. I'm your host, Chris Havard, and today I want to talk about some large news and something that I think has really affected the nation within the last month. But specifically, it affected the body of Christ, and that's the death and murder of Charlie Kirk. And I already know a lot of people are going to kind of flinch at the subject matter. And I know a lot of people are kind of listening to see what side I'm on. But ultimately, I think as we walk through this, you know what I'm saying, we'll be able to actually dig into the reality of the situation, right? And I mean, don't get me twisted. Like, I have my own personal opinions about Charlie's life, but that's not, you know what I'm saying, that's not the Bible's, I'd say, opinions, right? So with that, I think the best way to do it is, like, the reason I really wanted to, you know, have this conversation is because I've seen such a division in the body of Christ, right? Both within the same race churches and also within just the body in general, from church to church, place to place, race against race, specifically race against race. And while I do feel like that's another subject that we'll cover at a different time, just the fact that I can't even refer to the church as the church, right? Like, I have to talk about black churches versus white churches versus Asian versus Hispanic or whatever. But like I said, just the division among the body, right? The body is all one piece, and we have seemed to come to an impasse when it comes to race relations, based off history, based off of, you know, current events, based off of Charlie's life and kind of the things that he said in and of itself, right? And that's the focus of today. And I feel like, you know, just overall as the church, we should be setting an example of how we're supposed to bounce back from something like this as a people, right? Like, and I'm not saying it as if Charlie was just super huge, great man of the church. But just in general, when it comes to somebody losing their life, there is a position that the church should have on it that I don't think that, or perspective that we should have on it that I don't think that we're having as the church. So that's the whole point of today's episode. So I mean, I'd say the biggest thing right off the bat is it doesn't seem like people realize that Charlie Kirk was just another soul, right? Like, there is a lot of back and forth where people are like, oh, he was this great this and he was this great that and he did X, Y, and Z, so on and so forth. And there's the other side where they're like, nah, he was the scum of the earth and he didn't do anything and blah, 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 right? At the end of the day, whether you're on the left or the right when it comes to that, and I'm not doing that as a political jab, I'm just saying literally on one side of the issue or the other, he had a soul. He was a human being. He was a person. And from a biblical perspective, that is super important to realize that a life was cut short. And if you are of the opinion that he was a terrible person, that means that life was taken that is potentially going to eternal damnation. If you're on the other side and you think he was saved and that he's up there with Christ, or he's, you know what I'm saying, good to go to be on the right side of everything once judgment comes, then by all means, you're probably not seeing it like this. But for a lot of us who are looking at the fruits of his labor as an example, or as a kind of a banner of his salvation or not, it does not look good for him. And as a soul, I mourn for that soul, right? And this is not for me to be like, oh, I loved who he was and what he said, because I don't. Specifically as a black person, I definitively don't. But at the same time, he was a soul. So to turn to the scriptures, because I want to make sure we're coming from a biblical basis, right? 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 21, and I'll be reading everything from the New King James Version. That's probably going to be the version I go to for literally every podcast. So, you know, if you want to follow along, 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 21 in the New King James, and it reads, "Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So this scripture is essentially alluding to the fact of, yes, Christ came as flesh, and yes, we are people of flesh, but if we are in Christ, we're new creatures. And it's going to go into a subject that I think is going to make its way around a bunch of times on these episodes, is salvation is a perspective shift, right? When you become saved, you instantly put on the glasses of Christ, the goggles of God, where you have to look at things from his perspective. And that perspective is what we read in the Bible, and the perspective is the understanding we gain from looking at things as God would see things. Now, God created Charlie, God created Martin, God created Malcolm, God created Sarah, God created Mary. He created all of these people, different races, different cultures, that it alludes itself to the beauty and the majesty of the Creator. Every beautiful thing we see that was made, we can point it back to the Creator God, which means that we are all equal creations in his sight. So with that understanding, we have to, once we become saved, the maturity aspect, one of the maturity aspects of salvation is we start to move into seeing things the way Christ sees things. And I don't feel like a lot of people, like I said earlier, we're not looking at Charlie as a soul. He didn't see Charlie as a white 31-year-old male. He didn't see Charlie as a Republican. He didn't see Charlie as an American. He saw Charlie as a soul. And that is what he's going to judge Charlie on, is what side was your soul on? Were you saved? Did you have that heart circumcision? Did you have that mind renewal? Did you change? Did you start to walk in and do the things that I asked you to do? Did you plead the blood of Christ over yourself and submit yourself unto salvation and the rules and regulations thereunto? That's what God is going to be looking for. That's what Christ in the end is going to judge us by. If he's not on the right side of that, that soul is lost. And ultimately, I think a lot of us don't want to look at Charlie like that because he did say a lot of things that were offensive to a lot of us, right? Whether it was from clips, whether it was from his full breakout conversations on the news or on these YouTube shows or at these college campuses, he said things that made him an enemy to a lot of us. And the other perspective I want to say is Christ tells us to love our enemies. And that's not something brand new. That's not something that we've never heard before. Is it something that we try to resist and try to ignore within the biblical scriptures? 100%, at least from the oppressed side of things, right? Like, we don't hear a lot of that within our community. As like I said, I'm black, so I'm speaking from a black perspective. We don't hear a lot of that, and I understand why. And I'll get into another episode where I talk about my understanding of that and also the deconstruction that usually comes with that. But ultimately, we don't hear that a lot because it's hard for me to look past the fact that you've beat me down and you're beating me down again, right? And in that, a lot of times we can't see what God wants us to see. Like I said, that perspective shift, it doesn't always rise to the surface because we're dealing with the natural. Like, I want to love you as Christ loves you, but you're beating me down. So like I said, Christ tells us to love our enemies. And that scripture is Matthew 5, 38 through 48. So with that, it says, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." Now, this whole implication of tax collectors is a cultural nod because they were seen as cheaters and stealers and people who basically sold out to the government at the time. So think about it from the perspective of, yeah, Charlie said some things that were 100% offensive. Many other people of the white race, or any race, especially, like I said, because we all seem to be turning and pointing fingers towards each other. Multiple people from multiple races are all implicating each other in these random things. We throw out these bogus statistics. We've got all these stereotypes that we just stamp on each other. And then on the back end, a lot of us play into those, right? Like, a lot of us eat that up. We don't try to change anything about ourselves. We don't think about anything when it comes to how we're looking when we adjust and interact with each other. But ultimately, the perpetuation of these stereotypes and the perpetuation of this oppression and the perpetuation of us talking bad about each other, it creates these divisions. It creates this angst and this hate that is so deeply rooted within us and passed down from generation to generation that we have made each other enemies to the point where we can't even come together over the Bible, right? The great end all be all, the eternity, the thing that's going to take us from the natural world to the spiritual. We can't even agree to worship together on that. And we also can't even agree that at the end of the day, Jesus is literally telling us, for those who you consider your enemy, suffer. And the sad thing is, he wasn't even speaking to Jew and Jew at the time. Like, he wasn't saying, like, hey, the people who are blood with you, the people who are also children of Israel, are your enemies. He was saying, outside of that covenant, outside of that promise of God, outside of those people who are within the body at that time, right? Because there was no body of Christ, it was just the children of Israel. He wasn't even talking to people who were in Christ. He was talking to Jewish people as it pertains to their oppressors, the Romans at that time, right? Here we are, all supposed to be God's children, all supposed to be brothers in Christ, sisters in Christ, and we hate each other and we have amnesty towards each other and we consider each other enemies just because we sit on opposite sides of a lot of things and we use our side to push the other side down. And I will say once again, because we're not going to lie here, there is a one-sided situation when it comes to this, right? And I've said it on my TikTok, right? Like, to me, it's difficult. Once again, it's going to be another episode, but it's difficult for minorities to look past history and see the God in you when you aren't looking past the history yourselves to make a change so that everybody can be seen the way that you would like everybody to be seen, right? When things are going good for you, you push others down. When things are not going good for you, you want everybody to be equal, right? So it's hard for minorities to look past that. It's hard for minorities to adjust to that when it's a constant cycle over and over. Like I said, that's another episode, but I just wanted to add that in there. So, like I said, back to what I was saying about Matthew, Jesus doesn't want us to create a subculture of ourselves within the culture of Christ, right? He wants us to be like God. He doesn't want us to be better us's, right? God doesn't want me to be a better Chris. He wants me to be like Christ, right? Same thing goes for all of us. Me being a better person is still a filthy rag. So why is my goal to be a better me? My goal should be to be Christ-like. And in that, we also understand that there's going to be enough division when we do that, right? Like, even me making this podcast right now, from the perspective of me as a black male, pushing what the Bible says, knowing the offense that it is going to cause within my own community. Thankfully, me and my wife have already talked about this, so it's not going to cause any offense in my own house. But who's to say that at any point in time there aren't people out here who are trying to do the right thing, and their own spouse, their own mom, their own dad, like, it's that's what the culture of Christ is going to do. It's going to be division enough, right? We also know that from scripture. And it's super simple, like I said, and I know this scripture gets torn to shreds, ripped apart, and put in the most heinous situations and not used in the sense that it's supposed to be used for. But Matthew 10, verses 34 and 39, 34 through 39. 34 says, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it." And here's the thing. How many of us routinely ignore the call of Christ to correct those in our own household in favor of going along to get along? We want to be comfortable. And Christ here is telling us that it is not going to be comfortable for us to be in these situations and still be godly in these situations. Jesus wasn't blind to the fact that things like this would happen because things like this were possibly happening back then. And things like that had been through all throughout the Israeli history of people in their situation, people in their culture being murdered, them constantly going to battle and losing friends and foe and alike. Like, I mean, like, it's constant. It's easily, Jesus knows. That's the best way I could put it, man. Jesus knows. So with that, him proclaiming that he didn't come to bring peace was not to say spiritually peace wouldn't be there, but at the same time, we know that by doing the right thing, we are going to offend somebody. That doesn't mean we go looking to offend people. And that goes back to what I said about how you feel about what Charlie said and did. As Christians, we shouldn't go out here looking to punch somebody in the mouth and look to use things to get some people to make them angry and then use that as a badge of, oh, God is with me. But what we should do is, in every situation, what does God say? What does God want me to do? And how is this going to work for me? Right? Like, how is this going to work to the point where I'm doing what God said, I'm doing what He's asking me to do? How does that work? How do I move forward on that and on that alone, right? And don't get me twisted, I'm going to use Philip Anthony Mitchell here for a minute, right? Like, he made a point to say that his church was not a black church, and it caused a big rift, right? That is the position of, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. The Bible doesn't care about your race. And I've seen a couple of white pastors do the same thing. And you go in the comment sections, or you listen to how people talk about them, and it's all this betrayal, this and betrayal that. Like, what God were we serving? Right? Like, what God? And especially to the fact of, why is it that we're so ready to cling to things of this earth? If we believe, and this is something I've talked to a couple of people about, especially in the Bible study that I run, we believe that God has all power, omnipotent, omniscient, you name it. He's got everything. He could snap his fingers and give you $1 billion. He could snap his fingers and take it away. Right? God is all knowing, all powerful. If we are sons and daughters of God through Christ, why is it that we're so scared to relinquish the things of this earth for the things that God could give us if we also believe that God gives us good gifts? It's counterintuitive, and we make God look like a liar, and we make the Bible look like a liar, because we would rather be comfortable with our families, knowing that my mom is a racist, knowing that my dad is a bigot, knowing that my brother is, you name it. I'd rather not call them out according to the Bible, according to scripture, tell them that the way that they're using scripture is wrong, tell them that the way that they're serving and going about serving is wrong. I would rather keep my mouth shut and be comfortable with these people and learn to be comfortable with that sin and learn to accept that sin, even though these people have all proclaimed to be Christian, than I would be to tell them what thus says the Lord, knowing that it would please God. We don't fear sin enough. That's another episode. But like I said, if we do as Jesus commands in the manner that he commands it, we will have conflict enough among our, without even having to have it among the body. Because the world will be opposed to you. The enemy will turn his gaze to you, right? I love Lord of the Rings, right? The wildest thing about Lord of the Rings was every time Frodo put that ring on, that eye moved directly and focused on him, no matter where he was. And you could even see it from, like, it would be scenes where he would put the ring on, and it seemed like the eye, it ain't no scene. The video in and of itself would zoom into the eye or zoom into the tower and go up to the eye, and he would be face to face with Sauron. That is much like how the enemy looks at us when we do the things of God. You will be surprised and amazed the amount of conflict that just comes out of nowhere, the amount of attack that comes out of nowhere, if you literally are doing what Christ wants you to do. And it's not attack as in people attack, but it just seems like everything won't go right. It will be so much coincidence of how things get in your way. And this is just my experience. So if you haven't experienced that, by all means, I'm not saying it's a guarantee. I'm just saying, in my experience, when I've aligned myself to Christ and I have focused on doing what Christ wants me to do, I routinely see attacks like no other. But all that to say, do as Christ commands, right? Like, and it really boils down to it being that simple. Your perspective should be that of Christ. And if your perspective is that of Christ, then you will know that doing what he asks you to do, doing what he commands us to do, is going to be the best way to go about things, not from where it's comfortable, but also when it's uncomfortable. That's the part where picking up your cross. We have heard a billion different descriptions of how heavy the cross is, how beat he was, how much it hurt, so on and so forth. I don't know where we got this idea that we're supposed to pick up our cross in pristine, unbattered, unbruised condition, right? I used to play football, I used to play rugby. The hardest thing to do is go work out after a brutal game. And the reason it is because your shoulders hurt, right? Your back's sore, your legs are tight. Everything is aching, and you have to put weight on your back. You have to stretch and massage the muscle. You got to literally reach in and dig into the areas that hurt the most. That cross is doing the same thing. I'm battered and bruised. I've been battling the enemy, but I still have to pick. I can't just say, all right, I'm going to lay down my salvation. Well, not necessarily lay it down, but I'm going to stop doing the things that I know that I need to do so that I could be comfortable. Because if I have to keep sacrificing in the midst of a battle, I'm beat and I'm labored, right? This cross was never supposed to be easy. So, like I said, there is nowhere in the Bible where God is like, hey, be comfortable as you follow me. Make sure that your friends and family still like you as you follow me. There's nowhere in the Bible that says that. So we need to have the understanding of standing on what's right is most important above everything, above relationships, above family, above friends, right? So ultimately, I just want to, like I said, I want to wrap this up because I don't want to keep going off on a tangent. The church is one body. And I think there are plenty of scriptures that we could look at about the church being a body, but we know that the church is one body, right? So we are to be, if we're supposed to be a body, my eye can't say that it's better than my leg because they have different functions, but they're all part of the same body. I can't walk in the right direction without being able to see, or if you're blind, without being able to utilize my hands and use that to kind of give me direction based off how things feel. You know what I'm saying? Without a leg, I can't walk unless I get a prosthetic. But I mean, like, there are things that we come into contact with as the body that we need to make sure that we are still linked as the body. So, my challenge is to you all, think about where you might be adding to the division in the body of Christ. And the reason I said that, and the reason I want you guys to think about that, is because we hear about microaggression, we hear about, you know what I'm saying, racism, we hear about, you know, financial oppression, all these different things. What are you overlooking in your life? And this isn't pointed at any race. What are you overlooking in your life that you could be doing to bridge the gap with another person that is of a different race, or if gender is something that God that separates you guys, of a different gender, right? And this is not me getting on the LGBT stuff or anything like that. I'm saying, if you are a misogynist, what is it that is keeping you from speaking to your sister in Christ as a regular sister in Christ, as somebody equal to yourself? If you are misandrous, same thing. What is keeping you from speaking to your brother in Christ and overlooking the offenses of each gender towards the other? You know what I'm saying? Like, what are you doing that is perpetuating that cycle of division within the body? A question I have for you is, have you given your friends and family Christ's perspective on the Charlie Kirk situation or similar situations, right? And this isn't to say any one side or the other. Again, this is me asking a legitimate question. Have you given, like, in the conversation, because I know it sparked conversations. This was a tragedy. Somebody got shot in broad daylight. Whether you think it's a conspiracy or not, they got shot in broad daylight. So it became a subject of conversation. What perspective did you give your friends and family? Did you run to your political side? Did you run to your racial idolization? Or did you look at it and say, hey, this was a soul, and we need to, as people of God, pray for this soul, pray for the people that were influenced so that they could see and be led to Christ? Because Charlie's time is up, but Charlie's influence is still ongoing. So not only was he a pebble in a big pond, but his ripple effect is going to continue unless. Well, it's going to continue regardless, to be honest. But at the same time, we as the church are supposed to be praying for people like this, right? Praying for people who follow along, people like this, and praying that they aren't misled to the point of damnation, right? The last question I have is, when have you stood for God and Christ's culture over the culture of your community? Meaning, at some point, based off what Christ has told us, we will come into opposition with our community. When have you stood for God and Christ's culture over that? When have you gotten uncomfortable to stand on what God says over what your friends are saying? When have you said what God said to the point of maybe looking a little overzealous to your friends? And I'm not saying to the extent of go out here and be a radical, right? Like, don't get me twisted. I'm not saying go be the crazy person screaming at the top of your lungs, you know what I mean, out there at some campus. Because like I said, I went to Mississippi State, man. There was people who used to come to the campus and scream and berate people throughout, you know what I'm saying, the entirety of the day on one of the main thoroughfares of the campus. It's not what God wants. But in a situation like this where the conversation's already going, when have you stood for what God said? When have you stood for the commands of Christ? When have you stood to help direct people towards the culture of Christ in spite of them potentially not wanting to align with the culture of Christ? You know what I'm saying? Like I said, Philip Anthony Mitchell did it, got called out. They said that he was basically, you know what I'm saying, a sellout, so on and so forth. That is a person going against their community, because Philip Anthony Mitchell is a black man going against their community to stand for what God says. And I'm not saying you have to be on a platform like that and literally have to go against your entire community, but there is a circle that we are all responsible for, that we are a part of, where we have to be the bastion of, hey, this is what God says. We're the light on the hill, right? Can't hide that under a bushel. We are the ones who are supposed to stand and tell the world and proclaim God's goodness and change the world's view and culture to that of Christ's culture. So when have you done that? Right. Thank you guys for listening. Hopefully this wasn't too long. Hopefully you guys made it all the way to the end. Really appreciate you all, you know, tuning in to the Bible-based believer. Share this with a friend, share this with your church. You know what I mean? Like anybody that you think could utilize this conversation or utilize these verses, make sure you follow along and subscribe. We do have a YouTube. It is the Bible-Based Believer. If you just type that into your YouTube search, we should pop up. Not a lot of videos. Like I said, I'm just now getting started. So all of this is going to be really rough for a while until I kind of get into the flow of things. Make sure you connect with us. We don't have any social medias as of yet, meaning like a TikTok or Instagram or Facebook or anything like that. But if you have any questions that you want us to actually discuss or explore, or just want to leave some comments, hopefully they're all good, fingers crossed, but I will read your emails. Send it to the Chris Havard Show at gmail.com. That'll be in the description of the podcast, so you don't necessarily have to read or try to figure out how to spell my last name. But yeah, send me anything that you guys want to see discussed, right? Like, and if I feel that that's something that God wants me to talk about, I'll make sure to, put it in and we can make it an episode. But like I said, I'd love to get you guys' feedback. I really appreciate you guys for tuning in. This has been the Bible-Based Believer. I've been your host, Chris Havard. Peace.